Hey, podcasters, we're another edition of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. I'm your host, Master Doll, and joining me again for another week of fantastic fun is Jill Simonello, our special co-host. Welcome, Jill.
Ah, thank you. Thank you for having me back. I'm glad you didn't boot me off after last week.
I thought we had a lot of fun last week. If you didn't catch the podcast, it's on iTunes. It's on pickuptrucktalk.com. Check it out. We had, I think, a lot of fun. I think you really enjoy that one. As far as podcasts, entertaining. I will say I drove to Denver Tuesday and listened to some talk radio and listened to a few podcasts on the way there. And I promise you one thing that I'm going to do that they're not going to do is I'm not going to be boring. Holy cow. You know, 10 o'clock at night. Yeah, I was like, come on, guys, get some energy, get fired up, and talk about trucks, yeah, let's do it. All right, so we should talk about the show. Yes, let's get the show kicked off. Jill, you know that healthcare is a big issue in the politics right now, and nationally we're talking a lot about healthcare, right?
Yes.
But did you know about RAMCare?
No.
No, RAMCare. RAMCare is an actual thing. This was surprising. Yeah, I think it was last week. Ram unveiled a new Lone Star Special Edition for Texas. It's basically a cloth-covered 1,500 cloth seats with chrome. But they also talked about RAMCare, and I'd never heard about RAMCare, and I had no idea what it was. It's actually a Texas-only service, and what they do is they give you a 24/7 telephone support line that you call just for Ram customers, and it's exclusive hotline. And you can call if you have, say, questions about scheduling your service, or they say overcoming an unforeseen challenge. One of the Texas journalists said that that could be like trying to put your truck in four-wheel drive. You need to call them and ask them how that works. I'm thinking that if you're in Texas and you're in a truck, I probably got them uncovered. But all right, anyways. So you would call this number, schedule your service, and then you actually are qualified with the service. You can drop your truck off and get a loaner vehicle for the day. And you can stay in touch with upcoming Ram brand events in your local area, which means they send you a bunch of emails. They also do offer $1,000 per incident of coverage for lodging, meals, and emergency transportation if something happens to your truck. You do get 2 free oil changes and 2 tire rotations at no extra charge yearly. And there's exclusive VIP experiences at your dealership and select Ram-sponsored events across Texas. So there's probably going to do some Ram sponsored festivals and music festivals, and you get some exclusive things there. They are going to offer this service for 2 years for free when you purchase a vehicle. I haven't been able to find out what the price is after that. It's basically an extended warranty with a few little perks. I do think it's interesting that you would call a 800 number rather than pressing a button and you connect. I don't know. I was thinking, come on, guys. This is we're past the 800 number, right? I'm not going to call somebody and say, hey, how to put my truck in neutral. Probably not going to do that, but I guess you want to call, schedule those changes. I'm fine with that. The free oil changes, free tire rotations, it could be something. I think it's very interesting that I had to go to a Ram dealership. I went to Port Lavaca. I don't know what the hell it is. It's in Texas. And it's Port. Yeah, it's actually the city in Texas. It's a Ram dealership. I had to find out more about it because I couldn't find it on Ram's truck site. So Ram exclusive just for Texas. You get RAMCare, which is not the same as RomneyCare or RyanCare or any other care you want. The second news story I have, which is equally exciting as RAMCare, is Toyota, actually Lexus sent a press release out today. They announced a new autonomous driving feature called Lane Valet. Do you know about Lane Valet?
No. Tell us about Lane Valet. I just saw the press release come through as well, but I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, Lane Valet, what it's doing is it actually will help drivers who stay in the left lane a bit too long on interstates. It will alert them on the screen and have them gently move over to the right lane and get out of the way. It's a semi-autonomous system. It uses the old 802.11 wireless data protocol to make sure that moving drivers to the right-hand side to improve traffic flow. It's a fantastic new service. It's going to be an all-new Lexus vehicles. It's also an April Fool's joke, but it's kind of a well-done April Fool's joke. And so, yes.
The April Fool's joke.
Yes, that took me a little bit to figure that one out. It actually is an April Fool's joke. It would be a fantastic feature, though, that the car would move you to the right if you're in the left lane for a bit too long. That's fantastic. I think that'd be a great feature. I'd love to implement it, but again, April Fool's. It was very clever on these press releases. The final story for you today is the Toyota sent out, again, another Toyota product. They sent out a teaser image. The teaser image of a wheel and tire combo. It's got cool rims to it. It's a Goodyear R18, 225, 55 R18, 18-inch tires. Let's say it's got some good clearance. It just shows the wheel well. It shows the Goodyear tires. It shows the rim. They're calling it the FT, which for them is future vehicle. I think this would be a future truck because they had to, do their naming for the other car they had put out. But anyways, it's a future vehicle. It's a concept off-roader, they're calling it. 2017 New York International Auto Show would be the debut April 12th. Let me make sure I get the date right on that one. April 12th in New York City. So here's the thing. It's just a concept off-roader. That's all we have is we have a very small image of it. But people are kind of thinking, it's going to be a new FJ Cruiser. Huh. Ho, ho, ho. The FJ Cruiser discontinued a couple years ago because of CAFE requirements, because it's a gas hog. They're bringing that back. The talk is that Ford bringing back the Bronco, Jeep bringing a new Wrangler back in 2018. It could fit between slot between the 4Runner and Land Cruiser. It'd be iconic kind of looking because the FJ is such a different looking vehicle. It's still a very off-road vehicle. There's some talk about that. And I got to tell you, from a concept vehicle standpoint, that'd be pretty badass. It'd be really cool to see that. I don't know that it makes sense for them to bring it back in their current lineup, but I don't know. You have the politics right now with the EPA redoing their fuel economy with the Trump administration, so maybe they'll roll back some of the penalties and requirements for fuel economy, and maybe we get the FJ back. I don't know. It's an exciting thing. I'll have links to those in show notes. I'll have them on the Facebook page so you can see the photos yourself. So those were my big hitters. I had Ram Care, I had Lane Ballet, and the FT Forest. What do you got for us?
Well, so I'm more on the serious side of things, as I do.
Yes.
But I found another article I wanted to, or another news item I wanted to mention before the one that I mentioned to you before the call.
Did you get that straight? So she talked before the call, after the call, during the call. Now we're going to do the news story.
Yeah, now I have another one that I wanted to talk about before the one that I want to talk about after this one. And it's actually a recall from Ford. They are recalling 570,000 vehicles for fire risk and door latch trouble. And the reason why I bring this up here is one of the vehicles they are recalling is the Ford Escape. So basically what they're saying is the 2014 Escape is being recalled. It's the one, all the vehicles that have the 1.6 liter turbocharged engine. Basically, for potentially a fire, it says a lack of coolant circulation could cause the engine to overheat, causing a crack in the cylinder head, which would then potentially cause a fire in the engine. If you own a 2014 Ford Escape, you might want to check your VIN on safercar.gov and go there, check your VIN, and see if it is part of the recall.
And it's unfortunate. That Ford Escape has had a checkered history with recalls. I drove one last week. I thought it was fine. It's a Ford Escape. It's drove nice for me. But they've had some recalls on that over the years. And I think for a while it was the most recalled vehicle in America.
Mm. Yeah, that is unfortunate because it's a good car.
Yeah,
I enjoy driving it, and I've driven probably the last few generations, and it's just comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
So unfortunate, but yeah. So that was the one thing. As I was looking through news stories, I was like, oh yeah, we may want to mention that because that's a large recall. The other vehicles included in that recall are the Fiesta ST and the Fusion.
Okay. So we will have show notes to that. We'll have that in the show notes so you can click on the link and learn about the recall. Make sure you're not the one affected driving around with a car that could catch on fire.
Right, yeah, that would be bad.
That'd be very bad.
So the other item I have is actually equally, if not more so, distressing.
You're in a happy mood today.
Pedestrian deaths have spiked in 2016. They've actually gone up by 11%, which is kind of a big number, I think. They totaled nearly 6,000 deaths last year. And the interesting thing is researchers are basically saying that people are too distracted, and that's why pedestrians are dying. And they're not just blaming it all on the drivers. They are actually calling out the people who are walking, the pedestrians as well, as they are playing with their mobile devices. They're texting or playing Pokemon Go. I don't know what they're doing while they're walking, but they're not looking up and they're not seeing the cars that are hitting them.
Yeah, quite literally. I got to tell you, I'm impressed if you're able to walk and text at the same time and not get hit by a car. It takes a lot of your attention span.
Well, it's funny because I've noticed in Chicago, on street corners, they've actually started putting down signs, like on the crosswalk, just before you step into the street, and it says, look up.
I believe that's called an epidemic, and we have a big problem in this country about that.
Yeah, but I first started seeing those signs a couple years ago, and I thought it was funny, but apparently it's a real problem. People are texting or doing whatever they are doing on their phone, and they're crossing the street without looking up, and bad things happen.
Yes, so there's your public safety service announcement. Please look up when you're crossing crosswalks. That's courtesy of Jill Simonello from Chicago, making sure that your life is saved, because the car will not slow down for you. Not today, but someday autonomous driving is supposed to be the cure-all for all of us. I don't know. I've been missed. Anyways, we should keep going. So I'm going to talk up next with Rochelle Salinas. She is from the Houston Auto Show. It's a big show there in Houston happening next week. And so to give you some ideas, so next week we're having, there's actually a Denver Auto Show going on as well, which I will not be at either one. Programming alert, I will probably not have a podcast next week. I will be at the Masters with Lexus, doing a fantastic event with them. But I'm going to talk to Rochelle. Houston Auto Show opens to the public next Wednesday, April 5th. We're going to play that, and then Jill and I will be right back on. We're going to talk about a couple of vehicles we've driven this week and give you some insights under our thoughts on those. We'll be right back with more. And we're back with more Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. I'm on the phone today with Rochelle Salinas. She is the PR director for the Houston Auto Show. She has a fantastic show planned next week. She's got a lot of cool events going on. It's a great show because it's Houston, it's trucks, it's truck country. There's a lot of truck stuff going on, plus a lot of car stuff going on. So I encourage you to check it out. But let's talk to Rochelle first. What do you have planned? And thank you for being on the show, first of all, before I get too far advanced. And what do you have planned? Yeah, what do you have planned for the Houston Auto Show?
Well, the Houston Auto Show is in its 34th year, and it's a great show. And this year we went out of our way to plan some extra activities because the Houston Super Bowl was in January on top of our typical dates that we usually have our auto show. So we had to move to April, and April is a much more competitive time. Not only do we have T-ball and weddings and all kinds of fun family activities, but it's also perfect weather in the city of Houston. So there's a lot of other festivals and activities going on for people to choose from. So we had to make sure that we were making our event extra engaging and interactive for fans this year. So adding to our ride and drive, you're going to see all the brand new cars of today, but then you're also going to get to test drive nearly 80 different vehicles while at our show, if that's what you want to do. And we've added to the ride and drive lounge, but also Ram is bringing out their brand new interactive test track alongside Camp Jeep. And we've also have the ride and drives out front of NRG Center too. So there's plenty of ride and drive activities for fans. And then in addition, we've added some themed days to our show. So we have our Veterans Day that's going to be on the Thursday of the show. And veterans and active military will get in for just $1. And all of this goes to support the Texas War Memorial, which is a new monument being built on Capitol grounds here in Texas to honor Gulf War veterans of Texas. So that'll be a really beautiful tribute day to our military members. And then on Friday, we've turned it into a bit of a family day. So from noon to four, we'll have Dora the Explorer out. She'll be signing autographs and taking pictures with the kids. And then we'll also have a car seat expert in the Chrysler display doing install and uninstall lessons from Car Seat Mary. And she will teach everyone the proper way to do that to keep our kids safe from infant to toddler and all through their car seat use life. So that'll be a really nice way for parents to enjoy the show with their kids. And then on Friday through Sunday, we'll also have live music, which is a new dynamic to our show. We haven't had live music before, but we wanted to be sure that we were incorporating some extra entertainment into the show this year, and this was a great way to do it. So Lone Star Beer has partnered with us to bring out some great bands and have some music going on throughout the weekend. So it's going to be jam-packed. And then to put the cherry on top, Meekum Auto Auctions is across the parking lot from us in the same convention complex, and they will be inside the NRG Arena doing their live auctions throughout the weekend. So not only do you get to see everything brand new in the automotive world, but you can go over to Meekum and watch those classic car auctions too. So it's a full extravaganza weekend at NRG Center and NRG Park for anyone that's interested in automobiles of any sort to come out and really have a great weekend.
Well, I think I speak for most people when I say, wow. Wow. I don't know how you put all that together, because that is a ton of stuff. And so let's break this down for people a little bit. If you've never been to an auto show, you haven't been recently, used to be you walked around the auto shows, you sat inside the car, and you just kind of, that's what you did. You looked at them because you didn't do anything else. But ride and drives are a new thing in the past, oh, say, decade or so. But Camp Jeep is really cool. So do you have are you going to fit the full display of Camp Jeep with it go over the top of the mount or the hill in there?
Yeah, we have the full display of Camp Jeep inside our show floor, so it's weather protected. And we borrow some dirt from the Houston Rodeo to build that out so that it is a full interactive exhibit. So you've got your huge hill that you go over. We've got some logs, some turns in unstable conditions that people can really test out the capabilities of the Jeeps with their professional driver.
And if you've never done that, it's really impressive. It's really a fun thing. It's almost it's such an interactive display. It's really cool. And what'd you say about the Ram truck has their ride program too, don't they?
Yeah, so right next to Camp Jeep this year, we're building in the Ram Territory Interactive Test Track. And this is even bigger than Camp Jeep. It took 15 18-wheelers to bring this in, and it's huge.
15 18-wheelers? Holy cow.
They've got some hills, but they've also got some towing exhibits for you to experience. They've got a boat that you get to back up to and pull forward on, so you can see the camera and the towing capacity of the Ram trucks today, and also some really dynamic turns and going over logs and such to check out the suspension. So that test track is really, really interactive and dynamic, and you're going to get to see the full capability of the Ram truck.
So Ram and Jeep are making the other brands jealous with their displays. Okay, we got that. You're doing a Veterans Memorial, which is fantastic. That's a great thing. Dora the Explorer. I don't know if you're going to get isn't there a Dora Highlander or something a couple years ago Toyota did? Kids displays and having kids at the shows is important. It you're doing that and the car seat. And I got to tell you, as a father of three kids, car seats aren't so simple to install.
Exactly. And this is how, you know, me as a parent of two and a third on the way, I realized that, you know, how difficult car seats were. And I added this into the show this year from my personal experiences. And that's mostly because at last year's auto show, I went around myself to our displays and checked out all the different latch systems in the SUVs today. And I wanted to see what was going to be best fitting for three car seats in a vehicle, and to say, how can I make this work? Is this even possible? Not without buying a minivan. And I realized, you know, I'm not the only one with this in this predicament. So it would be really fun to be able to offer that to parents coming to the auto show to experience, being able to have that experience, but not only that, but learn from an expert the best and safest ways to install your car seats.
Yeah.
And kids love the auto show, all ages. They love it. And we took out our kids' fun zone that was, you know, inflatable, jumpy houses and all that kind of stuff about 2 years years ago. And thankfully, we have not received a single complaint about taking that out. And we had to take it out because we needed more space for manufacturer exhibits. But it hasn't been missed because the kids are just happy enough to crawl in and out of all the different vehicles and push all the buttons and participate in the different manufacturer interactive exhibits, that they have a great time not needing a bouncy house. So it's really been fun to see that expansion in our family attendance, and adding Dora is just something extra fun for the kids. They'll get to say, they'll remember the auto show because that's where they met Dora the Explorer.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, to your point, the auto shows, the different manufacturer booths have gotten more family friendly. Ford often has a virtual reality driving simulations. There's usually those around that the kids can actually get in and drive the vehicles on a video game setup. But they're just really family friendly these days. I take my boys down and they just have a blast, and you know, hopping in and out, and they have a good time. But you're
one of my favorite things last year was Jeep had a green screen set up, and you took a photo with your family, and they printed you out a Jeep decal to put on the back of your car with the silhouette of your family. I mean, it was the coolest.
That is cool. And
everyone brings out different things like that for you to have a you know, a little take home item.
Yeah, and so really they're family-friendly shows, and you have a lot of family activities there, which are smart. That's a lot of good things to do. Bring your family down, and then you're doing live music as well. I mean, come on. What else are you going to throw at these people? They're here all day. You look at cars. You get to drive cars. You get to have your kids. You can learn about car seats. You get to do some virtual rally driving, and your kids are being entertained. And then you have live music. Is live music at night, or is it during the day? How's that going to work?
Yeah, we'll start late afternoon, and then through the night we'll have live music. So it'll be going on all day and keep you entertained whenever you need it. It's a huge facility of 800,000 square feet. So whenever you're ready to take a rest, you know, the music spot will be a great place to rest your feet for a minute and take in some good tunes.
Wow. And then you can walk across the street if you want to and see how the old Mustangs and Camaros are selling at Meacham Auto Auctions, which is they put on a really good show as well. Their auctions are fun to watch.
Yeah, they are, and they're live broadcast on NBC's network, and it's just cool to be at the same time as them. It really is kind of the grand slam of auto events, having us participate at the same time in the same place.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. All right, so give us the details here. So where is it at, and how much does it cost to get in, and websites, and what do we got?
Yeah, so check out HoustonAutoShow.com. Tickets are $12 for adults, so very affordable, and $5 for kids ages 6 to 12, and then under 6 is actually free, so making it a great deal to bring out any age of the family. You can get a $2 discount online on our website as well. And then we're open Wednesday, April 5th through Sunday, April 9th at NRG Center right here in Houston.
Oh, fantastic. I'm telling you, if you haven't been to an auto show lately, or you're looking for a car, or even thinking about it, auto shows are great to go to because you see all the variety there at once. You see all the different models. You can see different trim levels. You can hop in and out and really get a feel for the differences in vehicles. It's a lot better than hopping in and out of dealerships all day on a Saturday. You can go to the auto show, be entertained, and see everything you need to see. Then when you go to the dealer, you have a really good framework of what you're looking for.
That's right. And it's a no pressure atmosphere too at the auto show. No one's trying to sell you a car. They just want to educate you on it so that when you go to the dealership, you're ready to buy and you know what you want, and you can just be demanding and asking what you want instead of trying to negotiate and play some hardball game.
Yep, absolutely. So make sure you check it out. HoustonAutoShow.com, correct?
Correct.
All right. Thank you for being on the show this week.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Tim.
All right. And check out the auto show. We'll be right back with more Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. And we're back with more Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. Finally, on today's show, we're going to talk about two different vehicles. Jill's going to start with some conversation about the Honda Ridgeline. It's been on her mind lately. And I'm going to wrap up the week I just had with the Toyota Highlander. So let's have Jill go first. What's on your mind with the Honda Ridgeline?
Yeah, you know, it has really been on my mind lately because I am not a pickup truck driver. I live in the city. And I very rarely take test cars that are big, like big trucks, big SUVs, because I live in a very compact space and I have a very small garage with a dude who parks next to me who can't park. So my space is usually infinitely smaller than what it should be. And it was funny because when they offered me this test as a loan, I said, well, I will take it, but I may have to park on the street. And they said, okay, that's fine. And I said, okay, I just want you to be aware that this may be, you know, not in off-street parking. Because usually when you take a test car, they don't want you to park it on the street. They want it in a garage. They want it in a off-street location.
Right.
So I said, just as long as we're clear, I will try and put it in my garage, but it may not happen. And I'll be darned if the thing did not fit in my garage. I was so impressed. I literally had probably about a half an inch on, you know, either side, but I was able to, because it has, the vehicle that I drove, the test car that I drove, actually had amazing camera coverage, and I was able to, in a very, very tight space, back that car into my space. And it had, like, literally, I can show you pictures. We can post them, you know, someplace. But they literally, like, an inch, half an inch on either side of the door and then the wall. But it fit in my garage. And so I thought, okay, thing number one that is really making this an interesting vehicle for me. And it fits in tight city spaces. And it's really maneuverable, and it was really comfortable. And then I had to drive to Detroit. So I was actually driving this in January for the Detroit Auto Show.
Okay.
So I drove to Detroit. I had to leave at ungodly, like, 4 a.m. or something like that. So I'm the only car on the road. And all of the systems in place. So I had top-of-the-line Black Edition, all-wheel drive, all whistles and bells included. And, you know, it was literally the most comfortable car I probably could have had for that drive. And it was so unexpected. And what I really liked were the automatic high beams, where I'm driving down the middle of this dark road. It turned on the high beams automatically, and then it turned them back off again when a car was approaching. And I had never actually seen that feature in practice before. It seemed like a good idea, but I hadn't ever seen it in practice. And I was just, again, so impressed. And so then I get to Detroit and was able to maneuver through those city streets. And, you know, with the navigation, it got me to where I needed to go. And I don't know. And so then, while I'm in Detroit at the Detroit Auto Show, it wins the North American Truck of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yeah, that actually is right. It was pretty awesome. And drove it home, comfortable. Like, I forgot that I was driving a pickup truck. And that was the most impressive thing for me. So you have this truck that has a base price of about $30,000, 280 horsepower engine, 3.5 liter V6. And it comes with standard features like an in-bed trunk and a dual action tailgate, but you can get it completely tricked out like I did. And it was the all-wheel drive model of the Black Edition. And it was $43,000. And basically, you don't need to add anything to it because it has blind spot monitoring, the truck bed audio system, all the cool Honda Sensing safety features, so lane keep assist and forward collision warning and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I just, it kind of blew my mind. And that's why it's been on my mind, is because I was just so utterly surprised.
Yeah, I've driven it. We had a review on it a couple months ago, and I have the same kind of thought process, is that it's an SUV that's a truck, right? Mm-hmm. So it's basically a Honda Pilot with a bed, and it's very surprising how comfortable it is. The way they built the unibody truck, it still has a frame, which is, that may surprise people. There's a Truck Trend story coming out. Who knows? It's been in the cache for 2 months now. Publish it. So it's coming out. I actually detailed the frame on it. So what they were able to do is they were able to use some different building techniques. They built the truck from the ground up differently, so that way it rides that much smoother. And it is a very comfortable truck. I've seen a few around my town. It can most people can drive it, right? So it doesn't ha it's not a big heavy turning kind of truck. It's not a big diesel engine. And you can park it well in different spaces, and it's pretty usable. I thought it was interesting. I used the in-bed audio one time.
Okay.
It's not a feature that you typically would use, but I was out getting some reclaimed wood from a shed, an old Model A garage actually, and we're using saws and cutting the wood apart and loading up in the bed. And so I turned on the audio so we had some music while we worked, And I was really surprised at how well the audio sounded. And when you're playing the audio and you look in the in-bed trunk and you're seeing the space for like ice, and you can put some pops in there, and you could it's a tailgater truck is what I'm trying to get to, is they designed that for tailgating. They literally went to tailgate forums and literally read about how people are using the trucks to tailgate and built a truck for that. But the side product is it works really well in urban environments, and it's really comfortable to drive.
Yeah, well, and again, being in an urban environment, that in-bed trunk space is pretty phenomenal because you can treat it almost like a trunk and put stuff underneath, hidden, and park it outside, park it on the street, park it in a lot, and nobody's going to be able to see what you've got under there. So I don't know. I was literally blown away.
And I should tell people that we don't literally get blown away that often.
No.
No, we're at the point in our careers, and Jill's same as I am, that we've driven hundreds of vehicles by now, maybe even approaching thousands. And we do not, it's very rare for us to get blown away by vehicles. There's things that surprise us, things that we didn't think we'd like that we end up liking. I drove a Chevy Volt last year or 2 years ago, and I really enjoyed it, which is surprising to me because it's a car. It's an electric car too. I don't know, what it is, but the Ridgeline is a great option. It's a great urban option. It turns better than the Tacoma, turns better than the Frontier. It's smoother on the highways. It's smoother around town, and the fuel economy is not bad either. In the all-wheel drive, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but it's pretty reasonable. And I would argue that the price point, people will compare this to the full-size trucks, and it's really not fair anymore. The difference between the full-size and mid-size isn't just size anymore. There's a lot more factors involved. There's a lot more ride comfort. There's a lot more features you can get. Parking in the garage is a big issue. And so, yeah, you're going to spend $42,000. You could buy an F-150 for that. But you know what? You're not going to get the same features and the same driving and the same easy to park that you will in the mid-size. And I can
Yeah.
see that Data Hound over there is looking at the fuel economy right now on her screen.
It's 25 miles per gallon on the highway and
Yes.
18 miles per gallon in the city, which, yeah, that isn't bad for a pickup truck.
No, so mid-sized trucks used to be that if you got 15, 17 miles per gallon, you were doing pretty good. I mean, because full size, you're getting 12. But you're getting 25 on the highway, that's a pretty good number.
Yeah.
Okay, Data Hound. I want to talk about the Toyota Highlander, and I took down a variety of notes, which I'll show you. We do Skype calls, so I have these notes that I put down for fuel economy and horsepower and torque, because Data Hound over there is gonna harass me on the different features. I drove Toyota Highlander. I would make a couple points with this right off the bat, is that my wife needs a new SUV, and the Highlander is one of our choices of SUVs we're looking at. We're looking at the Highlander, the Honda Santa Fe Limited. I drove that, 2 months ago and really enjoyed that. It's kind of a dark horse. You don't hear very much about that vehicle. But we're kind of doing that one, doing Honda Pilot, the new Honda Pilot's out, and kind of looking around. But so the Highlander is something we looking at. The 2017 model is new. That we did that, I want to say New York last year would have been I think that's where they showed it. Anyways, what they did was they changed the front grill, and they changed the styling.
Okay.
The front grill has what I call the Lexus spindle. So it's got the big kind of it looks like a it's got a bunch of bars. It's multi-barred. Let's just say it like that. It's a multi-barred grill, and it's big, and it's got a lot of it's a really profound grill. The styling changes make more sleek, especially in an SE, which is a sporty edition. So the grill was actually dark painted black, so it's blacked out, and it didn't have it, the top was all black. I'm not a fan of new look. I'm just going to say it right now. You probably heard it in my voice. I like the older style better. Well, and it's very interesting to me because it doesn't happen very often where I actually prefer an older style to the newer style. Typically, when a new thing comes out, it takes a little bit to get used to, right? So a Jeep Cherokee, the way that grill took me a little bit used to, but then you prefer it over the older model. In this case, I actually prefer the older model. However, the things they did with the new model are exceptional in that the new base 3.5 liter V6 engine has Toyota's what they call it's a D-4S system. It's direct injection and it's port injection, and that dual system of injection makes it more fuel efficient and makes it better have better horsepower and torque. So here we go. Horsepower numbers. It's 295 horsepower and 263 foot-pounds of torque. The horsepower is up 25 and the foot-pounds of torque is up 15. The SE mode I had a sport mode to it, which I played around a little bit. I don't notice a difference. I think the one I had two bucket seats in the middle and then had a bench in the rear, so it's a three-row SUV. So it seated seven. If you fully loaded it, you probably could feel the horsepower differences. But driving around town my family of four in there, I didn't notice any big difference. I don't think it's that much quicker. I don't think it's just more powerful.
Right.
It's got the new 8-speed transmission, which is the new automatic direct shift transmission. So you can directly shift into gears. I don't know. Just put it in gear and you drive. It's not a big deal. The 8-speed, the benefit here, though, is with the more the D4S technology, the more horsepower, more torque, and the 8-speed, you get better fuel economy. Those combinations, because the new 8-speed transmission, they worked on really reducing the amount of friction involved, and so that improves the fuel efficiency of it. So fuel economy, I had the front-wheel drive version, and they make an all-wheel drive version, a front-wheel drive version. The front-wheel drive version had 2327 city highway, 2327. The 2016 model had 1925. Okay. So you're looking at 4 mile per gallon better city and 2 mile per gallon better highway, which if you know anything about how they design cars and things these days, 1 mile per gallon takes a lot of work of improvement. And now you're looking at 2 and 4 mile per gallon in the city. So that's a very big improvement, and it's something that's on my mind a lot as I'm looking for cars, because we're going to do a lot of city driving. And 4 mile per gallon over the course of a year or a course of 7 years owning the vehicle. My wife is on her 10th year of owning her vehicle. So when you're in 10 years, that does turn into some real savings. They did – another thing that Toyota has done is they put all their Toyota safety systems – I think they call it TSS, Toyota Safety Systems. Yes, Toyota Safety Sense, TSS-P. They put all that – it's standard throughout their entire lineup. They just said, you know what, we're done offering these as features. Done. It's going to be throughout the lineup. So you're looking at pre-collision systems, pedestrian detection. Here we go. Pre-collision system with pedestrian detection. Yes. Look up. Damn it. Lane departure alert with steering assist. Automatic high beams, which I've used those, and I'm glad you just used those. It's auto high beams is a really, really handy feature. And like Jill explained, it turns on and off the high beams. It's got dynamic radar cruise control, which I actually used going to Denver. And I'll say this in the story. I drove to Denver on a Tuesday and drove back, so it was 7 hours in a car. When I drove down, it was rainy and foggy, really bad fog. I actually saw a really horrendous accident. I don't know if people walked away from that one. Anyways, I'm driving along, and I set my cruise control behind a semi because I couldn't see around to pass him. And it was nice because with that dynamic radar cruise control, that's a long word. What is it called? Adaptive cruise. That's what I call it. It's just adaptive cruise. It adapted to the vehicle in front of me, slowed me down, sped me up, kind of kept me. So I didn't have to – I wasn't on the gas and brake the whole way down. It's just really driver fatigue. There it is. Yeah. There's my keyword. There's my buzzword bingo. Driver fatigue. Driver fatigue was less with adaptive cruise control. So I got the refreshed and that many hours in the vehicle. I got back like at 10 o'clock that night, and it was really, really handy having dynamic radar cruise control. And other cool features, blind spot monitor, rear cross traffic alert. Rear cross traffic alert, if you haven't seen that either, I don't know if I talked about this in the show, when you back out of a parking spot, it actually will alert you if somebody's going up down the line. So think about Walmart, somebody driving crazy, which I know never happens at Walmart. It'll alert you if somebody going there. Overall, go through my things. Yes, overall, went through my stuff. It was $42,440. Didn't have a whole lot of options, actually. Only had an $1,800 option for the rear seat Blu-ray player, which I liked. It's interesting how these rear seat Blu-ray player works. In this vehicle, there was it's mounted to the roof, and so you pull down the screen, you put a movie in. The problem is you have to use the remote control in the back seats to hit play and move the movie along. So if you have infants back there and you want to have them entertained, you actually have to turn the car on, start the movie, get the movie to play, and then drive off. As opposed to other systems that actually work on the front center console, and they work with the radio system, which even then you can't start the movie at the being parked to be able to use the front screen. So somebody, OEMs, manufacturers, come up with a better solution, especially if you're trying to drive and start a movie. It's a freaking nightmare. You got to pull over. So $42,440, $1,810 for the rear seat Blu-ray DVD. I believe if you don't do the rear seat DVD, you can do a panoramic moonroof. I believe that is an option on the Highlander because I know the 2016 model did have it. I had salsa red pearl was my color with black. It was red and black with 19-inch wheels blacked out. So it was the gangsta mobile. I would go with they have different trim levels. I like the limited trim level because it has a lot of features, and I like chrome. Why is chrome such a bad word these days? Why do we have to black it out all the time? I kind of like the chrome. I think it looks good with the chrome. So check it out. It's at dealer lots now. It does come in an all-wheel drive. Check that out as well if you live in an area part of the country where that's important, which is mostly everything above the Mason-Dixon line. I think that's what the movie said. So something to go check out. That is my final word on the Highlander. Jill, do you have anything else to add to the podcast this week?
Well, I have a couple words about the Highlander.
Yes, I should let you talk.
No, I know, I didn't want to interrupt. But I'm actually driving the limited model this week.
That's right, you are.
And it's the all-wheel drive. And so what I want to say is Toyota needs to work on their pricing a little bit because I'm driving the all-wheel drive limited model. No options, really. I think I have some floor mats and some body side molding, which is like about $500 in options. And my price for the as-tested version is $44,514. So I'm not that much more than you. Hmm. And my as, or, you know, I'm like a higher level, a higher grade. I don't really have any options. And my price is not that much more than the SE trim that you're driving. You find that interesting?
Yeah, I would agree too. I think it seems like there'd be more of a price difference there.
Right. And, you know, it's really well equipped, like you said. And I have to issue a little caveat before I say my next sentence. Last week, I was driving the Lexus RCF, which is a 467 horsepower, you know, small little coupe, sporty, awesome package. And then I swapped into this. And I find this incredibly huge. It drives huge, and it feels a little slow to me.
Okay.
So with the caveat of...
Yeah, driving RC.
So, but now, yeah, I need to drive it a little bit more. I need to go out on the highway and spend some time driving around parking lots or something. But this just, it feels big, it drives big. And it just feels really heavy. You know, the engine to me, you know, again, obviously I'm not in a V8 467 horsepower,
sure,
you know, engine vehicle, but I for what it is, I feel like I need a little bit more oomph, especially in the quick starts with the stopping, you know, with stop and go traffic, or, you know, when you're trying to merge into traffic in Chicago. And I need to spend more time with it, but that's like my initial impression, is that it's just driving really big.
Yeah, I would say that the V6 engine they have, it's not great off the line. It's smooth power.
Yeah.
It's got enough power to load up the family and go. But right, as Toyota products go, it is not an off the line fast vehicle. Yeah. And I think that's really evident throughout their SUV lineup. I just got a RAV4 I'm driving now. They're slow off the line, especially when you compare them to the number of turbocharged engines in the marketplace. When you get these turbocharged engines that are more fun to drive, you immediately realize how much slower Toyota products are. And there's really no other way, because they don't offer turbos, their hybrids are better because the hybrid uses a combination of battery and gas, so it's faster upline. So the Highlander does come in a hybrid. If you're looking for more of an engaging driving experience, more fun to drive, the hybrid is where it's at. But Toyota definitely needs a small displacement turbocharged engine for some of these SUVs and smaller, especially RAV4, and even like an option for the Highlander to get it off the line better. I could see it being a little cumbersome to drive. It's a longer SUV because you have three rows, and so the footprint on it is wider and longer. It's not minivan size. It's smaller than that. But it's bigger than a 4Runner. So it's got the it's definitely not as sporty as the RCF, which I've driven the RCF. It is a fun car. Although the seats. Did you have any problem? We're gonna go off topic. Hold on just a second. Do you have any problem with the seats in the RCF? The bolsters. Well, you're all right. All right, let's say this. I'm a bigger dude than Jill. We have different body sizes, and the seat bolsters.
First off, I'm not a dude. I'm just gonna put that out there.
Yeah, that's a very important, very important. Not a dude. We have different body shapes, and I'm fat. She's skinny. All right, I said it. The seat bolsters in the RCF just dig into my sides. It's really annoying. Tough for me to drive that car. Actually, it hurts my hips. Hurts my back. They gave it to me for fun when I was in Michigan, I don't know, a month ago, and I drove straight to the hotel, parked it, got out, and just left it.
My husband is a little bit bigger, and you know, I don't let him drive my test cars, but I drove him around. We took like a trip up to the northern suburbs, and I specifically asked him what he thought of the bolsters, and I mean, he's 5'8", 5'9", and weighs about 190, so and he's a little bit of a stouter guy. He likes to go to the gym and do all that weightlifting stuff, but he said he was actually fine. They didn't bother him. Yeah. So because I like they were perfect for me. And for reference, I'm 4'11" and I weigh about 100 pounds. So definitely much smaller frame.
Yeah, you have to be careful of stiff breezes. Yeah. So it's interesting. I've had problems with the Recaro seats a lot in BMW use those, or does it I don't know. Those types of racing seats I just my body shape just struggles with. So anyways, back to the Highlander. it's definitely going to feel a lot more pokey than the RTF, which does happen to us. I went Mini considers their Countryman an SUV, and so I get those as press loans, and so I'll get a Mini Cooper, then I'll get like a Ram 3500. I take out curbs all the time. It's ridiculous. So it's gonna feel a little bigger. I will say it's comfortable to drive. It's smooth to drive. You know, you have to drive like an SUV. Wider turns.
I will say too, like, you know, we were talking about the Honda Ridgeline earlier, and that vehicle did not drive as big as the Highlander drives for me. So, and it was a much bigger vehicle because, like, I said, it filled up the entire space of my garage, but it just didn't drive as big to me as the Highlander is driving. And maybe some of that is colored by perspective, but going from a really small car to a really big car, but I do that a lot. And so I don't know. It's not unmanageable. It has a really good backup camera. You know, I'm able to get into my space okay. And it's fine getting out of the alley, but I do have to pay some extra attention when I'm turning out of our garage area and turning out of the alley, you know, to maybe keep my eye on that right rear window to make sure when I'm making that turn that I've left enough space so that I don't take out, you know, the rear quarter panel of the vehicle.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that point of view. I live in wide open country here in Nebraska, so I can take a mile and a half to turn. It's fine. A mile and a half. So yeah, that's kind of fun. We have different impressions of the same vehicle. I guess we'll share some impressions and a little bit different on the driving. I didn't notice that. I will next time I drive one. I will pay closer attention to that. Kind of give you two sides of the same vehicle. That's kind of fun. I don't know many other auto shows that do that, do they? So there, we're breaking ground. I'm calling it we're breaking ground. All right. So that does it on the Highlander. Any final thoughts?
No. No final thoughts. It's gray in Chicago today. That's my final thought.
Well, it's been raining here in Nebraska. It's finally getting some sunshine today. Dry out. I hear it's 90 degrees in Georgia. So I will come back to you in likely 2 weeks with a sunburned forehead because I'm Swedish destination. And yeah, we get burned a lot. Yeah, and that's it. So that's it for this week's Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk Show. I'm your host, Sam Estralov. Make sure you find us on PickupTruckTalk.com, on Facebook and Pickup Truck Talk. Find me at T. Estradol on Instagram and Jill Simonello on Twitter. I'll have the hashtag or the have the links to our Twitter profiles in the show notes, not hashtags. This today's age, social media drives me nuts. Check us out on iTunes. Check us out on, I believe we're on Stitcher. I believe we're on those places. Check us out. Leave reviews. Let us know how we're doing. Email me at tim@pickuptrucktalk.com. You know, another thing too, I noticed is I don't do any call-ins. I have never had anybody call into the show. So if you have questions or comments, email me. We'll hook up a call-in. We will talk about it, get your thoughts, and we'll talk about those on next week's edition or in following 2 weeks' edition of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk.